for bringing you the truth. Hopefully you come to the Hagmann Report, listen to the Hagmann Report, watch the Hagmann Report, invest your time, and we don't want to squander your time. Hopefully that you leave at the end of the program better informed than you were when you arrived. That's our goal, and we will always endeavor to make sure that we deliver the product intended. Coming up is going to be John B. Wells, of course, from Caravan to Midnight. He's on the story about Sandy Hook. Now, there's been so much speculation about Sandy Hook. I'm going to just kind of get into this just briefly. So much speculation. There was a false flag. No one died. Everyone died. It's what a mess. That's all I can say is what a mess. Now, Wolfgang Halbig is a guy that has got law enforcement credentials, incredible law enforcement credentials. He was investigating Sandy Hook, is involved in a number of pieces of litigation, a series of litigation. In fact, he's just came back today, I believe, from a hearing in Connecticut, and he was scheduled to come on tonight, and he had called John and said, can't do it. And it had to do with a number of threats that were issued. It's my understanding. I'm not 100% certain on this, but I believe there were a lot of issues that prevented Wolfgang from coming on. So in his place, John Wells, who has interviewed him a number of times and talked to him about Sandy Hook, is going to come on and give us the version of Sandy Hook. Now, everyone knows John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. Everyone knows that John is a very reasonable gentleman. I mean, he understands what the issues are. He approaches things without hysteria. He approaches things in a very orderly fashion. And what his findings are, I mean, he approaches things as we do, with very methodically. And that's, I really appreciate that about John. So, we're going to get a thumbs up here when he's on. But before we bring him on, folks, Christmas is bearing down upon us, and if you're looking for that perfect gift, omahasteaks.com, favorite website, omahasteaks.com, and in the search bar, put HH. You know, if you're struggling to find that perfect gift for someone who has it all, omahasteaks.com, search bar HH, that's the place to go. If you're looking for that perfect gift, let me tell you about what I found. In fact, what I found for under $50, $49.99, you can get my family gift back when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter code HH in the search bar. It's a 77% savings. Folks, I've had so many compliments, so many comments about the gifts I've sent, and I've used every item in this gift box, and it's a value, and the quality is unsurpassed. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving all of us, you, me, exclusive savings. All right. Listen to everything that they've packaged for under $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, four boneless chicken breasts, two boneless pork chops, four kielbasa sausages. And I could stop there, and there's your $50 worth of food. I mean, top quality food. I have to go on because more is contained. Four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, 12-ounce package of all beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, which just makes the steaks, oh, wow. It's steakhouse quality, but that flavor, you know, that unique flavor, you can have that at home. Plus, you get four additional kielbasa sausages free. Folks, go to omahasteaks.com. Enter our code HH in the search bar and add the family gift back to your cart and get a 77% savings. It's a gift guaranteed to be a hit, and we've sent them out for Christmas. I would urge you, if you want to be a hero and just take all of the fret, worry, and hassle out of your shopping, omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar, my family gift back, and continue shopping. They've got over 500 gourmet gift ideas as well. OmahaSteaks.com, HH in the search bar.
Now we have radio show host of Caravan to Midnight, Mr. J.B. Wells. Mr. Wells, it's been a while since we've had you on. It's great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you both. Thanks for asking me on.
Hey, well, John, thanks for coming on. We were talking earlier. Well, I think you know the backstory. The backstory is this. We had scheduled Wolfgang Helbig to come on our program, talk about Sandy Hook because of, well, this marks, I hate to say the word anniversary, but today's the anniversary, I believe, of the Sandy Hook incident. And you've been investigating this for quite some time. You've had Wolfgang on your program, very informative program. Folks go to Caravan to Midnight and look up John's interviews. But I got to ask you, what's going on with this? What's going on with Sandy Hook? What have you found in your research and investigation of this, of Sandy Hook, and especially in particular with Wolfgang?
Well, I appreciate your wanting to talk about this. I don't want to give anybody the idea that I'm out there with my Sherlock Holmes glass,
right,
you know, and my special hat on, you know, looking for clues. There are plenty of clues as to the veracity of the official narrative all around. And let me just name a few. How is it? Gosh, where to start? All right. First of all, I saw this as it was supposedly happening live, right?
Yep.
Watching this on television. I believe it was WABC had their news helicopter up there. And there's been a shooting. Oh, and here goes a guy running through the woods with a black hoodie on and gray, black, and white camo, winter camo pants on. Cops have got him down. Two cops have got him down. Next time I see this guy sitting in the front seat of a police car, looks at the TV news camera and says, "I didn't do it." So, question number one, when's the first time you've seen, have you ever seen a suspect in the front seat of a police car ever? I haven't, ever. Number two, when's the last time you saw somebody who had just been detained for running through the woods at the scene of a school shooting where children were supposedly murdered, who's not only sitting in the front seat of the police car, but is permitted to speak to the press, a member of which is holding a TV camera, and he says, "I didn't do it." Well, if you'll have to have had better luck than I have had to ever see that clip again, because now what you'll see is a blonde-haired guy saying, "Yeah, the guy came by here a while ago, and he looked at us and said he didn't do it." Okay, well, no, he looked at the TV camera and said he didn't do it. To which I would respond, "You didn't do what?" And his response would probably be, "Well, I still didn't." You know? It's a real three stoogery there. So then, oh, good Lord. And then, Wolfgang Helbig begins asking some questions. He's a school safety planner and deployer of the school safety techniques, national schools specifically, school safety expert, along with being a former Florida State trooper. Now, look, just because somebody is a, well, you know, several people saw the flying saucer, including a policeman. Oh, well, if a policeman saw it, well, then it must be true. No, policemen, FBI agents, CIA, and everybody else are just people. But, okay. But he is a former state trooper.
Got to give him that.
And he is a former National School Safety Administration advisor,
yep,
counselor, and planner for various schools to implement school safety programs. Well,
that's right.
He wants a little information on that. When the next thing happens is two Florida state troopers come to his house in Florida and tell him, "If you don't stop asking questions, they're going to arrest you." In fact, I don't think they were actually state troopers. I believe they were homicide detectives. But, I mean, pick one. Were they wearing the smart military-esque uniform, or were they wearing the polyester suits? I don't know. It was one of those two. But I believe he said homicide detectives. Okay. Now, we've sent a crew of people up there on more than one occasion up to Hartford.
Caravan of Midnight crew, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
our own crew people. We got some contractors on a list, and we called some of them. We said, "Go up there and take a look." They stayed real close with Wolfgang, and largely what they got was a lot of, you know, pretty boring footage. You've seen some of it. But one of the more intriguing ones was that that governor up there, Malloy, he did say on camera, that the FBI had given them a heads up that something like this might happen. Okay. Wonder why they would do that. Now, there's other stuff. The school does not look like anything other than a disused space that was formerly a school. This did not look like a school that any one of us would want to send our kids at all.
At the time,
it was sort of a ghetto school.
Yeah, 4 years ago in 2012. And
yeah.
When this happened,
yeah.
Right. Okay, all right.
Now they've done the same thing that they did at Waco. And they've destroyed the crime scene because the Sandy Hook School is no longer there. It's been bulldozed. So they tell, so these people, whether they're homicide detectives or whether they're state troopers, doesn't matter. Really, they're policemen.
Mm-hmm.
Go to his house and tell him they are going to arrest you if you don't stop asking questions. Now, what exactly is that supposed to mean? Now, let's jump over to this kid, Jonathan Reich. He was trying to contact the medical examiner, I believe, either the medical examiner or the coroner. Never did talk to the person and received a charge of a misdemeanor telephone harassment. Okay? Misdemeanor charge.
Wow. Okay.
He's now sitting on Rikers Island after having been arrested at his parents' home by U.S. Marshals. The federal U.S. Marshals Service showed up at 5-something in the morning, shackled him, and took him to put him on Rikers Island. Rikers Island, folks, is a notorious hive of criminality and despair. It's
been
horrible.
Been there, and it's not pleasant.
Well, the judge says he wants to keep him there as long as he can, so he's going to keep him there 90 days.
Oh.
How does a misdemeanor telephone harassment charge turn into a $50,000 bill for your attorneys and turn into the U.S. Marshals Service coming to your parents' house to arrest you over a misdemeanor charge? Okay, then we'll pop into the stuff that the Wolfgang's done himself. He's asked, who are the children? Where's the list of the children that went and sang at the Super Bowl, the Sandy Hook Choir? Crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, show me a parental release form. More crickets. But this was really the best one. Forget all the photographs for the moment of the hole in the glass that now, what, almost a dozen SWAT guys in full gear? They look like the Michelin Man. They're wearing so much gear. But they all went through this hole in the plate glass. Oh, okay. And who are all these people out there in the parking lot, these various pictures of whom have been taken? Well, they're DHS people and strike bad to the bone, that, you know, but they're all federal and a few state policemen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Wolfgang Halbig comes down to Arlington, Texas here, located between Dallas and Fort Worth, and goes to the company that builds the dash cams, because the dash cam footage that Wolfgang requested under Freedom of Information was provided to him, but the timestamps weren't on the CD or the DVDs that he was given. So he took them to the company that actually makes the dash cameras and asked them, can you pull the timestamps off of these? And they said, yeah. So he was there for a couple hours. They came out and he goes, did you get them? He said, yeah, we recovered them and you have to leave right now or we're going to call 911.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Now let's bounce back over to the children. Another set of 26 children went and sang at, I want to say it's Yankee Stadium. It's still there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Okay, so where are the parental release forms for that? And who are those kids? And why, if this is such a big deal, wouldn't you publicly acknowledge them? That's Wolfgang's point. I don't think I would have taken issue with that, but it's just another question that he came up with that they just can't seem to answer. But here's the best one. Right there on our cameras, the first selectman of Newtown, Connecticut, is on our video camera being asked questions by Wolfgang Halbig's attorney. And the lady attorney said, when was the sign that says everyone must check in? If you've ever been to any movie shoot at all, that involved more than, you know, a dozen people. Everybody, there's a sign always that says everyone must check in. Okay. Right. And this sign that, that I'm talking about is one of those orange ones with the yellow lights on it. You can change the message on it, and it's on wheels, and you can stand it next to a highway construction project. Everybody's seen one at one time or another, almost everybody. When was the sign placed there outside the at the driveway for the at the Sandy Hook School and the first selectman? Now, keep in mind that the first selectman, nothing gets done in that town without the approval of the first selectman. I don't care if it's the mayor, I don't care if it's the chief of police or the fire marshal or who it is, nothing gets done there unless the first selectman signs off on it. So this is the first selectman, who's a lady, who's being questioned. So when was the sign put there? The response was 3 days before the event. And who put it there? You know what the first selectman answered? Why, the Department of Homeland Security. And the audience went,
oh. Hmm.
So my question is, now, why would the Department of Homeland Security have a sign out there like that? Trooper 1, the helicopter, was supposed to have been airborne, right? Wolfgang's been trying to get the, and you can get them. There's nothing that would prevent you from getting them except going through the proper channels of request. But Trooper 1 more than likely was not flying that day. And there are a number of policemen that were supposed to be on the job. But no dash cam footage. Wolfgang Halbig has been... You know, here's the thing. It's the same thing as with Barack Obama's birth certificate. If he had gone before the country, since he's so interested in Jim Crow laws and slavery and segregation, every anti-black person policy that's ever been implemented, going all the way back to before the Civil War, if he's so interested in that, why would he not have secured his birth certificate and said, "This is my birth certificate. This is a judge who certified this as a correct copy," or "This is the judge who certifies that this is an original." And this is just a perfect example of how racist, bigot forces in this country are trying to marginalize me by suggesting that I'm not a legitimate citizen. Why wouldn't he play that card? Well, the answer is he can't play it. Because the other part is that...
No worries.
His birth certificate says, I believe he was born in 61 or 62, and his birth certificate says African American. Well, the term African American wasn't used in 1961 or 62. Loretta Fuddy, the Hawaiian health director, the one who was responsible for certifying the birth certificate, is the only fatality in what they call a crash. But it wasn't a crash. It was just a hard landing.
Oh, yeah.
Catastrophic engine failure. That was a Cessna Caravan. They don't have catastrophic engine failures. That does not happen because it was a commercial aircraft. And commercial aircraft have to be inspected thoroughly by certified, not only airframe and power plant mechanics, but they must have... IA, which is Inspection Authority.
Right.
And those logbooks have to be maintained meticulously because, let me tell you, the FAA doesn't fool around with people. A guy recently down here that some of us knew got in trouble because he allowed some people to talk him into something to do with a propeller hub, and they wanted him to backdate the repair. Somehow or another, this guy fell for it. And he wound up doing 2 years in a federal lockup. I mean, the feds are real serious about forging paperwork, particularly on aircraft. I think that is, I mean, seriously, $400 for a set of 12 spark plugs? You bet, because they're aircraft spark plugs.
Yep.
So that thing has a turbine engine in it, meaning it's a little jet engine that turns the prop. And you don't have catastrophic engine failures unless a goose flies into the intake, and that's not going to happen. And it didn't happen, but she's the only fatality. And then it seems that there was, now I wasn't there, so I don't know, but it seems that there was a Navy
We've had her on.
I think it's an insane website name, but she's got all those photographs there, and you see all these people in the water, and you just wonder why she had a heart attack and just died. Okay. That sounds like, Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy, and Ruby kills Lee Oswald, and then he dies of cancer in the hospital. Bye-bye. Case closed. Everybody's gone. So there was no righteous indignation from Barack Obama over his birth certificate.
Correct.
And there was no righteous indignation from anybody that has anything to do with Sandy Hook, except for Lenny Posner. Lenny Posner, who apparently has more than one name, but more on that later from Wolfgang himself. His son, Noah, was tragically killed at Sandy Hook. Well, how did Noah's picture wind up on a sign in Pakistan after there had been a shooting or a drone or something blew up over there? And there were a bunch of people. I thought it was a drone strike or a missile or something, but someone told me later that it was actually a shooting, but that's just what they said. I don't know. The only thing that I know is that I saw this kid's picture on a placard that somebody was holding out there, like they hold at the protest, one of those kind of protest signs, with his picture on there. I mean, this is the same kind of hooey that we went through with the Boston Marathon bombing. Let's just talk about that for a second, since all of that happened under Obama's watch. We see this guy, he's just had his legs blown off, right? Looks just like a guy who's sitting around with a couple of other guys that had their legs blown off, except for one thing. They're all in military uniforms, and the picture was taken in the Middle East. Looks just like him. But here he comes. He's being rolled down the street with his shattered little shin bones sticking down, and he's sitting upright in the wheelchair. So my questions are, number one, why is this man still conscious? Number two, how is he able to sit up in a wheelchair without practice? Because if you don't have your legs, all you'll do is fall out of the wheelchair right straight onto your face. And number three, why is he not bleeding out? Well, the answer is, those are prosthetic legs. Remember the idiot moron woman who's going, making all these wounded cow noises while her clearly effeminate boyfriend is going, make it stop, just make the fireworks stop, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This mooing, distressed cow is taking a video selfie of herself in distress.
Yes.
And every time we hear something about someone wounded at the Boston Marathon bombing, it's they lost a leg. Not an eye or a testicle or a hand or a finger. It's always a leg. They lost a leg. That's phony, too. Boston Globe ran a story about the exercise being run, what, the day before or something like that? So, look, this government is a fraud. And all of this, what they thought they were going to do, fellas and audience, they thought that they were going to duplicate the same effect that occurred when that lunatic really did shoot a bunch of school kids in Scotland. And then, like 2 days later, 2 weeks later, they just went, whatever it was a very short length of time, the government came around and just picked up everybody's firearms and took them away and disarmed the whole UK. Well, you can have a pistol, but you have to store it down at your gun club. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can have a shotgun, but only under very, very strict regulations. Well, they thought they were going to get the same out of here. Who could resist? Now, what kind of people would not insist on nationwide gun confiscation or at least draconian measures taken to ensure that this cannot happen again? If we arrange for a bunch of school children to be massacred by another kid. I mean, just like that idiot Hillary Clinton talking about how we have to be sure that toddlers don't get guns. Toddlers. Oh. Yeah. Yes, two-gun toddlers packing 44 mags and 45 ACPs, and they're just ready to get it on. Those toddlers, you got to watch out for them, So, I don't know what kind of idiots we've really been for these last 8 years. But it was refreshing to see Mr. Trump just absolutely stomp the life out of the Democrats and their campaign, and to watch the stupid mainstream media go right down the toilet along with the Democratic Party. Because these people are a complete joke. They keep screaming about fake news, but that's all this administration has put out. Not that other administrations didn't do it. I'm not real happy with George W. Bush either, or his dad before him, or Bill Clinton, or any of them. None of them. The last decent president we had in this country was Ronald Reagan. And Charlotte Easerbeat says that they used to Common Core, which, as Charlotte said, does not provide training for jobs which don't exist. Look, I got in a lot of trouble with that when I was on Coast to Coast AM, and I got it for a number of reasons, got into that trouble for a number of reasons. I told them global warming, I told people over the air, global warming is a farce, global communism is not. Benghazi was a gun deal that went wrong, Fukushima is a problem that cannot be solved. Sandy Hook appears to be a farce, and other things.
John, hang on to that thought. We got a three minute timeout here at the bottom of the hour, Joe.
Okay.
Folks, on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, you're listening to radio show host John B. Wells from Caravan to Midnight. Folks, subscribe to Caravan to Midnight and check out John B. Wells and his broadcast as he does a great job of bringing on guests that the mainstream media won't touch. Talking about issues that the mainstream media is afraid to or doesn't have time as they are too busy reading the lines that are written for them. John B. Wells from Caravan to Midnight, coming up after this for the next segment. Stay with us.
Proud to have with us for the remainder of this segment, John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. Folks, go to Caravan to Midnight, subscribe, be a part of the movement that really digs into the topics that are important to all of us. John B. Wells is a man that stands his ground and investigates the ground on which he stands, and we're all better for it. That's Caravan to Midnight. It's Caravan to Midnight, and we're so appreciative to have John B. Wells on with us tonight. 4 years ago, December 14th, 2012, it was reported that Adam Lanza, 20 years old, walks into the Sandy Hook Elementary School and allegedly fatally shoots 20 children between the ages of 6 and 7 and 6 adults at that school. Many questions have been raised about the legitimacy of that incident, and with all respect that is due to the victims, survivors, people listening, this is a question. We're looking at this. A lot of this doesn't make any sense, and John has been on the cutting edge of the investigative aspect of this with Wolfgang Helbig, who was scheduled to appear tonight but is not. So John is gracious enough to come in and talk about this, because a lot of unanswered questions. And since when is it distasteful to answer or to ask questions that need to be asked? It's not. It's a matter of importance. And I'm not going to rationalize any further. We're just looking for the truth on Sandy Hook and other matters, and this against the backdrop, John, of fake news, post-truth politics. What in the world are we looking at here? My goodness, it seems like we're living in this Orwellian dystopic society where everything is being managed for us. We're from perhaps Sandy Hook to perhaps whatever comes next. So I mean, this is bizarre, brother. I mean,
yeah, it is. Well, Doug, to tell you the truth, I think that's exactly why the mainstream media and the Democrat Party are losing their minds right now over the election of Donald Trump, is because of all their stupid yet somehow grandiose plans and their feeble, ridiculous, retarded minds. And people say, oh, you're just being ugly, let's have a civil discussion. Time for civil discussion's over with. Time for civil discussion. As a matter of fact, I can't recognize any of the discussions between the left and the right to have been civil on the side of the left. They make ridiculous, preposterous propositions. They will not respond to facts. They will not give you a straight answer. They will not listen to you if you present bulletproof evidence to that. In fact, the more evidence you present to them, the more tightly they hold on to their flawed ideology. So I think it's just time to call them the bunch of losers that they are and recognize that they're very dangerous people. From the look on Hillary Clinton's face to the look on Tim Kaine's face, vicious control junkies. These people have already had the fast cars. They've already had the big houses. Bill apparently has had over 2,000 women. It looks like he has HIV in the last stages, by the way. Barack doesn't look so good either. This is all, look, there is such a thing as breaking the spirit of a country. You can break the spirit of a person, and you can certainly break the spirit of a country. You can go just a little bit too far, and you can ruin a relationship. Just a little bit too far. But hence the expression, the straw that broke the camel's back. At some point, that back will break. But no, you just keep loading stuff onto it. Just one more straw, like that Monty Python picture. One thin mint, and this gigantic fat guy explodes after he has the one thin mint. Well, we laugh because it's funny, but we also laugh because it's true. We were being postured for the ultimate spread of six torpedoes right at the waterline amidships. Which is why so many of these freaks were crying, and like that blimp at who was on there, you got to fix this S now. I do kill myself. It's like, go ahead. Big loss to the planet Earth. Because you see, these people, some of these people have a megalomaniac complex. It means they have a God complex. They really do. Some of these mad scientists think that we can be as gods are. In fact, I think we are God. Look at all we can do. There are some people who are just so eaten up with themselves, they start believing their own PR, and that's what's happened to this bunch on the left. I really believe that enough people prayed that Mr. Trump became president. I really do. Do I think he's the Messiah? No. Do I think everybody's looking for a Messiah? Yeah. Do I think there's only one Messiah? Yeah. And his name is Jesus the Christ. So there's no one man that's going to show up. What, do they think Hitler was the Messiah? Sure, some people did. Some people thought Joseph Stalin was the Messiah. Some people, at least according to the official PR outlets, think that Fidel Castro was a Messiah. And Nelson Mandela was a Messiah. Except for one thing, Mandela's people and Castro's people and Joseph Stalin's people all lived the life of, well, living life in hell, only you're not dead, you're alive. And Nelson Mandela, the great African statesman, was buddy-buddy with Fidel Castro. They're two communists. And Mandela and his followers killed far more black people than white people because the black people didn't want to go along with them. So they just killed him. Winnie Mandela was a bigger murderer than Nelson, as it turns out. And that country has been driven into the same condition that California finds itself in, vote-wise at least, not murder on every corner, not yet, on every street corner, not yet. But certainly this, did you see where in California there are only two Democrats to choose from in one of their elections out there? No. Because whoever gets the popular vote, the top two candidates, they get the most popular votes. You get to vote for one of them. But there were no Republicans on this ticket, on the ballot, rather. So, you can vote, but your vote won't make any difference because you're going to get a Democrat no matter what. South Africa was the test bed for what they want to do to the whole country, and California is the first state to follow that, I'm going to call it, pattern.
Do you think a lot of these election shenanigans we're seeing now from the delegitimization of the Trump win, from the hacking, the claims to the recount, are part of the process to get us to where you were just talking about?
Well, yeah. What else can they do? It's easy enough to say they're sore losers, but that doesn't quite cover it. They're desperate losers. Mr. Trump being in the White House with a bunch of hard-hitting, serious businessmen and experienced career men in military and other areas is the worst possible threat. Because now, we're going to find out where all the bones are buried, and they know it. So they can talk about delegitimizing his presidency, but the only thing horrible individuals who routinely break the law.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily Michael Moore, but Michael Moore was talking real sweet about, well, it'll be an experiment. It'll be a grand experiment. Let's see what Trump can do. Now, as soon as, but he said it at a time when he didn't really believe that Donald Trump would win. But when he did, then his play nice speech turned to vitriol.
That's right.
And he reveals himself for what he is. He's just a greedy man that pads his bank account by playing on the stupidity of people on the left. That's all. Look at the millions of dollars that were spent to recount, and the only thing that happened is they kept coming up with more votes for Trump. What is it, the hacking? Well, no one satisfactorily explained to me why, if the Russians were trying to hack our election process and put Donald Trump in there, then why isn't there a single report, not one single report, out of 350 million people, some of whom voted, what was it, 46% something maybe?
Yep.
Nobody has reported one time that a vote flipped from Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump. No, it was always from Donald Trump got flipped to Hillary Clinton. I mean,
that's right.
Duh.
Well, not to mention the Obama call for illegal aliens to go out and vote. Talk about foreign influence on an election.
Well, John, let me ask you where we're at right now with the push toward the 50 members now. I guess if you believe the captured media, 50 of the members of the Electoral College want to see this classified report about Russian interference. You've got that. You've got the faithless electors, that is, and then of course you've got the inauguration threats by Michael Moore and others to destabilize that. What do you see taking place here? Do you see things going okay and all this is just white noise, or do you think that there's something that could happen here between now and the 20th of January?
I don't think there's anything more going to happen than the threat of ISIS blowing up polling stations the day before the election and on Election Day. I think these are the vacuous threats, and I think they are the pathetic thrashings of a dying bunch of morons and their political party. The Democrats and the left are finished. The only way that they can possibly become relevant in any way again is if we don't continue to call them the names they so richly deserve. People who cannot win anything without lying, cheating, or stealing. They are dishonest, they are disingenuous on every level, and I'm not prepared to say that, oh, I've got some good friends that are liberals, I get along with them fine, they're good people. All the liberals that I've met are nasty, ugly, vicious little weenies that are not happy with anything. They're jealous of everything. They think that they have done the earth a favor by gracing it with their birth, and they're mostly useless. I think this is just a bunch of chatter. I think the inauguration is going to go off without a hitch. Do I think they're going to challenge the election? I don't know. Maybe. What about this Christopher Sapruhn, this idiot of an emergency medical technician in Dallas, Texas, that he's going to vote his conscience, and despite the fact that Trump carried the state, he's going to flip his vote away from Trump. Well, you know what? This guy should be dragged out in the street and whipped senseless with a wet sock full of horse manure for being a moron. That's what should happen. Just like this teacher out there that's talking about how this election was a terrorist attack. And I'll tell you what, the blowback from that, she's now left the state because she's afraid. Because you see, when you call these people out for what they are, they turn yellow and they run. There weren't any Trump supporters attacking any minorities or anything of the sort.
And John, what a
load of hogwash. They're liars.
Is a college student who had his cell phone out and was recording his professor speaking to the class about the state of the country after the Trump election, and the professor came right out and said that Trump's election was an act of terrorism.
That's it. That's the one. And what does this moron teach? Human sexuality in college? What are you kidding me? They study human sexuality in the dorms every night at college and university. But this person, you know, this is back in the 90s, I went on a trip with a bunch of college people. It was just incidental. I just went along with them that were going to Greece, presumably to write screenplays, but it was really just it was a joke. There was a show used to be on called Twin Peaks. A couple of writers from that show, you know, came and held a couple of seminars, and people were writing little were in the area. And there was this this woman, I can't remember, and I'll just say it like it is. Probably the most, I can't imagine who this woman could get a date with, even to go out and get a, you know, just get an ice cream cone, and that was it. No further obligation on anybody's part. And her proposition was that heterosexual sex is automatically degrading to women. And this bimbo is a professor teaching human relations and human sexuality. And I repeat, who professes that regular heterosexual sex is automatically degrading to women. This is the left. They're twisted and stupid. They're like the flat earthers that say, well, it says in the Bible that you're called from the ends of the earth. That means from all over. There are no ends to the earth. Don't you have any sense of what's written? You think you see the deep meaning of everything around you, but you can't see. You wouldn't know a Ming vase if it came up and bit you on your backside. It also says in the Bible, when God looks down upon the circle of the earth, see, it's flat. It's flat. If you look up at a full moon, what shape is that? A square, a rectangle, a star, or a circle? It's this same kind of mentality. It's 2017, and you still have idiots out there who know nothing of science, know nothing of geonavigation, know nothing of aeronautics, have never flown in anything other than a commercial plane or in some little puddle jumper, but they have incontrovertible proof that the earth is flat. I'm talking to you, David Weiss. I'm over it, man. I am completely over it. These people need to be told how we feel. We have had them inflict themselves along with their ideology while getting into our pockets to get the money to fund programs we don't agree with for too long. And I think it's time these people are made to feel some of our pain. And if that's mean, well, then put a big M on my forehead before you plant me. But that's how it is. I can only suffer fools for so long. And after that, you either have to tell them, just shut up and go away. Or if you can, avoid that altogether and just reject them and move away from them. There's only one way to deal with stupidity, and that's distance yourself from it. And so these left-wing progressives need to just be quarantined, and their party, you see, we didn't have to do anything to them. They did it to themselves.
Good point.
They did it to themselves. But, oh, it's racism and misogynistic and all that. It's like, you know, go try that out on your mama, all right? It's just beyond anything that is certainly adult. Okay.
So John, you think, and I tend to agree. I believe that the vocal minority has had. I mean, we've had enough of the vocal minority. We've had enough of their erroneous or hyperbolic claims of racism and bigotry and being misogynists and xenophobes and whatever phobes. Enough of that. We've tolerated this for too long, and I feel the same way. And since when do 3% of the population, or even if you want to just expand that into the snowflake millennials, since when do they are their sentiments more important than everyone else's? It's ridiculous at its face. So you're it's refreshing to hear what you're saying. And we've got to say this. Somebody's got to say this. Enough is enough.
Well, yeah, playing nice with these people. Look, people of that ilk, they perceive civility and tolerance as one thing and one thing only: weakness.
Yep.
That's what they see. They see charity as some sort of purging of guilt because, you know, you're not really entitled to have a life that's better than somebody else. You shouldn't have a Christmas tree or say Merry Christmas because you might offend some Muslim that this excuse of a president brought into this country completely unvetted. This guy was in here for one reason only. People keep calling him a Manchurian candidate. I've said this many times on caravantomidnight.com. By the way, we've got a special running. You're fixing to get the mother of all newsletters, and there'll be something nice in it for you. So I hope you enjoy, and I hope you'll join us. I'm a little bit more calm, but when Doug and Joe turn me on, well, then I let them have it. This guy is not a Manchurian candidate. A Manchurian candidate is someone who doesn't know what he's going to do, whether he's going to shoot somebody or blow something up, whatever. He's only becomes aware of this when he's triggered by, in the case of Bobby Kennedy, some say the woman in the polka dot dress, or a song, or like a number station the Russians used to have. They may still have it, where the numbers just go out and their sleepers are around, and when they hear a certain set of numbers, then they go into action, something like that. Even though that's not really a good example, because they're aware that they're listening for these numbers. Manchurian candidate doesn't know what he's listening for. It's just that when he hears it, that's when he's going to make his move. Barack Obama was a Trojan horse. Oh, look over the wall. Look at that horse out there. Isn't that cool? Yeah, open the gate. Let's roll it in and take a look at it. Oh, dear. What pops out of the Trojan horse? A bunch of Trojans, that's what. And and now you've got your enemy inside your castle walls there, and he's killing you. Yeah, this enemy is overwhelming you. So that's what Barack Obama was, and isn't Barack? I believe that was the name of Mohammed's horse.
Yeah.
Look, all these idiots operate on symbology, or I'm not going to say symbology. That's the wrong word. Symbolism and suggestion. The gay rainbow colors on the White House. What a victory. Everybody just, I guess we might as well all turn gay, because the great President Barack Obama has lit up the White House in gay rainbow colors to signify the importance of this inclusiveness, of this diversity. I say, go back in the closet. I don't give a damn what you do at night. I don't care what you do with your pathetic little genitals. And don't try and make it into a political agenda and expect me to go along with it. I don't. It's not normal. Campbell's Soup, with that ad they put on there about, I am your father, Luke. No, I am your father, Luke. You got a kid there with two homosexual men, each of them saying, no, I am your father. I'll never buy a can of that Charlie Romeo Alpha Papa ever again. And that goes for Kellogg's, too, who donated almost $900,000 to Black Lives Matter, another Soros front. Black people and white people get along just fine. Now, you go walking through South Central, you're a well-dressed white person, you're liable to attract some grief from some poorly dressed black people. What did Barack Obama do for black people? Give them a phone? What else? Double the debt? It's almost $20 trillion. This guy was put in by New World Order aficionados and frankly, orchestrators and operators to destroy this country. He has opened the borders to countless millions of people. They're not just Mexicans. Okay? It's well known they don't really want to stop the flow of drugs coming into the country because there's too much money in it.
Of course.
Anybody who was paying attention saw they permitted a 747 loaded with cocaine to land in the United States. This 747 was operated by the Sinaloa cartel. And they let them do it in exchange for help against the Zetas.
Everybody we're taking sides. Yeah, we've taken sides.
Yeah. So this guy was put in place to bring this country to its knees. And believe me, if Hillary Clinton had been able to get in there, why were they pushing her, the Saul Alinskyite, with her crooked husband, well known in Arkansas? Those people can't even carry their own state.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, what does that tell anybody? This guy's a known criminal, and she's a known criminal. Well, why would they want to do business with her? Because she can be blackmailed. Nobody said anything that WikiLeaks released was a lie. They were all true. Well, you affected the election because you released something that was true, but you shouldn't have done it because you did it as a result of a hack. Oh, really? So what you're saying is, if I don't know if you saw this movie with Brad Pitt in it, but I don't want to give it away for anybody that's there, but there's a spot in one of these movies where a guy, I mean, it's just carnage everywhere, and this one guy has managed to conceal himself, and the enemy comes marching through, and one of the enemy soldiers looks and sees him there, and just goes on. Okay, now because this soldier decided not to kill you, does that mean that you were cooperating with the enemy? Does that mean that you received aid and comfort from the enemy? That's the same argument that these moron leftists are making over, well, they hacked the election. We're not, well, I mean, I guess it was true. Nobody has refuted the veracity of what was released on WikiLeaks. But it's just the way it was obtained. It just affected our election. You know what I say? Good. What do you want? You want to stare down the Russian bear and his nukes again? How many decades? We've been doing this since 1945. So what's that, 71 years? You want to just continue to stare in the face of a potential nuclear war with the Russians rather than, well, Tillerman, Rex Tillerman, he did business with the Russians, and we're afraid of the Russians. I mean, this is Doug, it's so pathetic. Where are these people's brains? Wouldn't it be better to get along with Russia than to, like, point our nukes at them and they point them enough at us? Haven't we had enough of that?
But that's bad for business, John. John, that's bad for the military-industrial complex, man.
And you see the left out there criticizing Trump's pick for Secretary of State Rex Tillerman.
Yeah, that's what John was saying.
Because the relationship he has with Russia is positive.
Exactly what John was saying.
This is the latest of a series of Trump picks and decisions from bringing jobs to the U.S. that the left has just criticized, and to the generals he brought in, saying he's setting up a military dictatorship. Everything good that he has done for the country since he's been in power has just been taken to task by the left, and this latest example is the best example.
Amen. Hey, John, we're at the end of the hour here, brother. Tell the people about your special for the newsletter for your subscription service, man. This is a great deal. And for
it really is. You got a $20 voucher in there.
Yep.
And you get a year subscription with it. And the other thing is that anybody who joins us is $60 for a year, and there are over 650 programs in archive already, and they're all well worth listening to. Even if you say, well, you've been doing this for like 2.5 years, even more than that, so why would that be relevant? Because you can see the timeline. You can see what was being said on those interviews by some of the same people that come up again on programs. So what you have is a time capsule of the events that have led us up to this point, as well as the new shows that we produce Tuesday through Friday, and then on Saturday night, 10 to midnight Central Time, we do a live radio program on radio station KLIF out of Dallas, Texas, 570 AM, and you can get it on iHeart or Streamas or TalkStream Live's got it, Red Nation Rising's got it, a bunch of them. And if you join us for 60, we will send you a copy. No handling, no shipping, no nothing. We just send it to you. We'll send you Trevor Loudon's new DVD, The Enemies Within, which names names and reveals all of these operators, communist, Muslim Brotherhood, and everybody else that works to the detriment of this country. You have the names. You have your list now of people to watch, and we give it to you with a $60 for the year subscription, and that brings it down to 40 for the subscription, if you want to look at it that way. And 6 months is $45. So it's a great deal, and we like to have a little bit of Christmas spirit. I'm not saying we haven't run this promotion before. We have a couple of months ago, but we're not the type that's going to keep the prices nice and high up until Christmas. But then after Christmas, then we'll drop the prices. That doesn't seem very Christmas-like, so no. We're making a good deal for everybody now, and you'll definitely enjoy the program. I mean, you really will. And
we do, indeed.
Yeah.
It's a steal at that price, John.
A lot of people say that it is woefully underpriced, but I want to make it available so that everybody, no matter what their budget is, they can do it. You can get in for like the Divine Miss V is here. What is it for 3 months? 3 months, how much?
$25
for 3 months. $45 for six, and $60 for the year. And if you go $60 for the year, you get the free DVD. So my question is, what are you waiting for?
Amen, brother. There it is.
We've reached the end of our time, John. Thank you so much for coming on. John B. Wells from Caravan to Midnight. We will talk soon, brother.
Thank you.
God bless, and Merry Christmas to you both and your audience.
And Merry Christmas.
Have a good night.